reports on what's going on in the world. Yet the language of news has become as cliche-ridden and codified that we often need a guide to figure out what exactly we're being told. Robert Hutton is the author of Romps, Tots and Boffins, The Strange Language of News. Robert, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Back when I was trained to be a journalist a million years ago, there was a concern about journalese and the overuse of cliche, or the use of cliche at all. Has that become any worse or better, do you think?
I don't think it's changed very much at all. I mean, when I was training, we were warned against certain things. I think every journalism trainer has his own little hated phrase.
Yes.
The guy who taught me hated Jekyll and Hyde. He said every time anyone goes mad and kills someone, the neighbours always say, well, he was a Jekyll and Hyde character, which basically means we didn't think he was actually going to do it.
Mm.
And for others, there's someone said, oh, they hate red-faced. Red-faced council chiefs. I don't know if you have red-faced council chiefs.
We often have them. Yeah, well,
red-faced bosses, yeah. Who are people who've done something wrong and are now a little bit embarrassed about it, or the paper feels they ought to be. So we had it when I trained, we had it when you trained, and I think we still have it.
What's wrong with us?
Well, in some ways, nothing. There are lovely, vivid phrases like clash and row and fury and so on, and they're great. And they're great. Actually, one of the things I think that people who aren't journalists don't appreciate is they're great because they're short and they fit into headlines and they're punchy. So at one level, nothing's wrong with it. News writing should be punchy. At another level, I wonder a little bit whether some of these phrases are just becoming a bit tired and a bit lazy. And actually, let's take Jekyll and Hyde character. You know, is everyone who goes mad and does some awful crime, did they always actually keep themselves to themselves and act like a bit of a loner, or which is what's always reported?
Yeah.
Or actually, maybe, you know, rather than just getting that quote and going and filing and going to the pub, maybe reporters should be on the lookout for a more interesting story about, you know, the guy who was a terribly nice neighbour before it turned out that he was holding four women in his basement. There was the American where actually they interviewed the neighbour, and the neighbour said he was a lovely guy. We went over barbecues the whole time. I had no idea he had four women in his basement.
Hmm.
Now that, I thought, was quite interesting.
Yes. But you see, because it often strikes me that there are categories of stories, particularly crime stories, where it's almost like the story has already been written, then events happen, and we just fit those events into the story. There are templates.
Well, I heard a lovely story last night that I don't have in the book about a reporter on a newspaper in London who used to have a little jar of intros, little rolled up pieces of paper. And when a story came along, he'd stick his hand into the jar and pull one out, and it would begin, you know, hopes rose last night as. And then he'd type, if that worked, if that was simply inappropriate, he'd put it back in and choose another one. There is, I mean, for years, reporters have worried they're going to be replaced by computers. But sometimes when you look at the way that people do write, you think, as you say, well, we don't really need to, do we? Because we've already got people writing these, I suppose, stories by numbers. But I don't want to sound too negative, because the book isn't a sort of an academic treatise on what's wrong with modern journalism. There's plenty of other people doing that job, particularly in Britain at the moment. But it's about I would see it slightly as a celebration of some of these words. I mean, some of this stuff is quite fun.
Yes. I know what you mean. I've kind of mixed feelings towards it as well.
Yeah.
It depends on the nature of the story. One that used to drive me mad when I was younger was they used to have like angry residents or up in arms.
Yes, up in arms.
You know, and it's over like because you know they're going to move the location of the playground. So all these people went out and got themselves AK-47s. It was nonsense. But at the same time, things like sex is always a romp.
Yes.
I don't know. I've never had a sex romp. I don't know what that means.
No, or a marathon sex session?
No. Apparently, we had a bloke already on the show today. 6 to 8 minutes and you're done, apparently.
I think a marathon sex session is probably one that lasts more than an hour.
One that's come on with which is kind of a television one since the advent of 24-hour news is that, well, that's not quite clear yet, which is a synonym for I haven't a clue.
Yes, no, well, there's a lovely one that I failed to get in on my website. I've got my top 10 ones that I wish I got into the book but failed to, and one, the about number three is my senses, which is what happens when you've got to understand that the nature of the medium is that very often the person in the studio actually knows more than the person who is in the field reporting. Mm. The person in the studio has read the copy that's come in from newswires, whereas the guy that's in the field reporting has got, you know, sort of logistical problem of just getting the camera, getting in front of the camera and this kind of thing. So the man in the studio will say, and now, you know, now we go live to Rob Hutton outside Downing Street, and Rob, what exactly is the Prime Minister trying to do today? And my sense is how you answer when you just don't know. The nice thing about it is, no one, it will never be wrong, because you say, my sense is that he feels he has made a terrible, even if that's not how he feels, all I'm saying is that's what my sense is.
Yeah, and which is up there with what's the atmosphere.
Exactly. Yes. How did you feel?
Yeah, it's uniform around the planet. Another interesting thing you look into is, I suppose, a specific subset is women's magazines and how they describe women that they have photographs of.
Yeah, it's really. I mean, I'm not a big consumer of women's magazines, and you know, I neither a consumer nor a producer. So this was a bit of a shock to me when somebody said, "Well, you'll have to talk about, you know, Grazia and all of these magazines," and I said, I don't really know what's in them. So I went out and bought some and talked to some people. And actually, one of the slightly shocking things as a man is how unpleasant women journalists are about women, in a way that I don't think maybe male journalists are this unpleasant about women in print, but I think I would be sort of reluctant to imply that someone looked fat.
Yeah.
Because you'd sort of feel, not really my place to say that, but for instance, flaunted her curves. I had no idea what flaunted her curves meant. Flaunted her curves meant look how fat she's got.
Yeah.
There's phrases like sort of had the fashion world divided, which apparently means everyone hates it, but no one's going to say so. statement clothes, which are disgusting, but by an advertiser that the magazine needs. Curvaceous, which is one cream cake from unflattering.
Robert, my sense is my producer will be up in arms unless I wind this interview to a close. So thank you very much for talking with us today. That was Robert Hutton. He's the author of Romps, Tots and Boffins, The Strange Language of News. We'll be back with the news.